Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
January 16th, 2007, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, an interview with a photography book editor. That's right, I have a really great treat for you today. Colleen Wheeler, who is an editor with O'Reilly Media in the digital media space, has come by the studio today, and she's going to talk a little bit about book authors, some of the authors we have now, such as Mikkel Olland and Stephen Johnson, give you some inside views about them, and then she's also going to talk a little bit about the state of book publishing these days, and maybe some tips for you if you have some ideas bouncing around in your head. So it's really great to have Colleen on board. How are you doing today, Colleen?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for having you on the show. Let's just start right out. You know, we'll get the conversation going, then maybe we'll take a break and do some virtual camera club business, in a few minutes. But I think everyone probably just wants to hear from you.
Oh, do they?
So tell me a little bit about your job at O'Reilly. What the heck do you do all day?
Well, I mostly work on traditional books about photography, primarily digital photography and Photoshop. O'Reilly obviously has a history of technical publishing on very technical subjects, and we've now moved into the digital media space, and I am the lucky person who gets to work on those books.
You know, actually, I hear that you had a very notable author as your very first book project there at O'Reilly. Isn't that true?
That's very true. I had the infamous Derek Story was my first project, the Digital Photography Pocket Guide, which I still stand by as one of the better photography books. I keep one in my purse, as you know, and hand it out to people.
Yeah, it's sort of a business card that you use, a calling card. Yeah, Colleen came on right before I was ready to revamp Digital Photography Pocket Guide. It was in second edition, and O'Reilly had just given me approval to do a third edition. Colleen came on board, and they actually, you know, assigned me to you, I don't know, maybe to give you worst case scenario in terms of working with an author or something like that, but it seemed to work out okay.
I think they were just giving me an easy one to start with.
And, you know, since then, though, you have had some amazing people, that you're working with. Let's just talk. Let's introduce some of the photographers that you've been working with, and then we'll do some anecdotes after the break. But why don't you just give me an overview of some of the folks that we're going to talk about today?
Sure. I think you're right. We've really grown into having a list of some really amazing authors. And I think the one that comes to mind first, Steve Johnson, who is really a digital photography pioneer. He just a notable landscape photographer who does amazing work with a camera we might not all have experience with, a $10,000 better light scanning back camera, but he's done some amazing work and really sort of legitimized digital photography as a medium.
And in his book that you actually helped with, the one that's out right now, which is called On Digital Photography, is that correct?
The official title, Stephen Johnson on Digital Photography.
Stephen Johnson on Digital Photography. Even though Stephen has worked, works with some amazing equipment, equipment that I don't even have access to, his book, the digital photography book that's out right now, it really is for anyone that's interested in digital photography because it covers everything from technique to how the sensors, read light to ethics. It's really a complete treatise, isn't it?
It is, and actually also the history part of it, which people find really interesting. You know, we get into these arguments, what was the first digital imaging device? And Stephen has some fascinating stuff about early fax machines and early space exploration devices that all sort of predate the explosion that eventually became accessible consumer digital photography.
That's right. So we have a little bit of information about Stephen, and you know, we're going to be talking a little bit about how he actually, you know, helped see that book through the printing process. Another author I want to talk about, and also a very good friend of mine, and actually a good friend of yours, is Mikkel Olland. And Mikkel, you worked with Mikkel on his Raw book, and now you're also working with him on the Lightroom book. Is that correct?
Right. I actually knew Mikkel when I used to work for a competitor. He has a best-selling book called Shooting Digital and also a best-selling Photoshop Elements book. And he came to O'Reilly and we did a book called Photoshop CS2 Raw that was quite the experience. And then he put together the trip that you went on, the Iceland trip, the Adobe Lightroom adventure in Iceland where, 12 of you went on your wild experience and used Lightroom in the field. And we're using images from that for the next book. It's really, really beautiful and really fun way to approach technological publishing.
Now, another photographer that's come on board that you've been working with lately is Eddie Tapp. And Eddie Tapp is very well known in the Photoshop world. He's a great Photoshop technician, but he's also a very, very, very good shooter, so much so that, Canon, he's one of Canon's top shooters and works with Canon quite a bit, too. And you're working on a whole series of books with Eddie, right?
Right. In fact, Eddie is a notoriously great Photoshop teacher, and one of the things we've tried to do with him is let him do books on really specific subjects. So instead of the broad sweeping stuff, we have specific books on color management, on Photoshop setups for good workflow. We're doing one on color correction and tone right now, and then we will end up doing another one on his, or maybe even a couple more on his particular creative techniques, which are really where Eddie will blow your mind. He's got ways of doing things in Photoshop, and he's really excellent at teaching other people how to do that.
Yeah, Eddie as a teacher really has quite a following. I would say I think a lot of people like him as much as a teacher as they do in a photographer, too. So that's really cool. And then I think the last photographer that maybe I want to touch on today is Ken Milburn. And, Ken has done a couple expert techniques books. You worked on the second one, I believe, and then you guys are also working in a new medium now, which is the PDF, and trying something new, and Ken's got some things going on there.
Yeah, his digital photography expert techniques was actually the other book that really put us in the space, along with your first one, and we just revised that, and we are also working on a digital printing expert techniques to come out in the fall. But our In the Throes project right now is a online PDF camera manual for the Sony Alpha DSLR. If anyone's ever tried to read the manual that actually comes with that, you might think, wouldn't it be great if a real photographer and a real editor created something a little more accessible? It's got tons of Ken's actual photographs to illustrate different settings, and it's really, and it's interactive. So there are lots of cross references. You can see pictures of the camera and go to the next thing. It's really something pretty cool and pretty new for me, something that's not intended for print.
That's great. Well, we're going to come back and talk with Colleen just a little bit more about these four gentlemen, because I think we have some interesting insights around them all. At first, I want to cover a little virtual camera club business. The first thing I want to talk about is this month's photo assignment, which is Glimmer. Now, I've actually been getting some mail about Glimmer. A lot of it's been sort of like, what the heck are you talking about kind of thing. And so I've been answering the mail. And so the Glimmer, the reason why I like Glimmer and the reason why I think eventually you will like Glimmer too is because it can work on different levels. You know, there's like the glimmer of light thing, like light, bouncing off water or something like that. So just from a straight physics standpoint, glimmer can be interesting because you're dealing with a point of light and maybe an interesting composition. But glimmer also is something that, you know, we use in English as, you know, like as part of a phrase, like a glimmer of hope, too. So it's gone beyond the light to, you know, where light transcends the physical properties and gets into something that's a little bit more emotional. So you could actually submit a photo for the assignment that actually had no glimmer of light at all, but it could be an emotional interaction or an interaction among people or, you know, or anything else, you know, animals, I don't know. But you get what I'm saying here. So you have a couple different routes to go. And so take the route that you're most comfortable with and try to be a little creative with this. I think actually it's going to be a really good catalog when we put it up. Now, remember, the submission deadline is the end of the month, the end of January. And if you have any questions about how to submit, make sure you go to the submissions page on thedigitalstory.com. There'll be everything there that you need to know. And one of the most important things, of course, is the subject line of your submission so it doesn't get lost in all the other emails. So make sure you pay attention to how to label that photo assignment, glimmer, you know, January, yada, yada, yada. Now, the other thing I want to mention is that the grab shots are starting to roll in again. Yes, you know, the holidays are over and people's cameras are coming back to life. And so I appreciate that, and I have some good stuff to run, but I'd like to get a little bit more of a catalog. So if you're sitting on something, make sure you send in that grab shot. And again, you can get all the information on the submissions page. And then also, I want to thank our sponsors. And it was very interesting. I was just at Macworld and talking with a lot of Digital Story listeners. And so many of them said, you know what, I'm using the Expo Disc now. And Expo Disc is one of our sponsors. Thank you very much, you folks over there. And they will be sponsoring us for some time now. And we have some fun things around Expo Disc. But I'm getting really good feedback on those that are using it. So thanks, Expo Disc. And also Photomagico. And Photomagico has a public beta right now for version 2.0. And if you haven't tried it, you can download it and check it out. And I think it's a pretty exciting version of the application. And so thanks to the folks over at Photomagico. If you have any questions about how to find out more, just go to thedigitalstory.com and click on one of those tiles on the right-hand side. And it'll take you to right where you want to go. We're back with Colleen now that we've done our virtual camera club business and have you all inspired to go out and take a bunch of pictures. And Colleen, I want to ask you a little bit about publishing is changing right now. And let's start with Mikkel Olland and working on the Lightroom book and also the RAW book. And, you know, when I worked on Digital Photography Pocket Guide with you, you know, we wrote the copy, we did the pictures, and we said pictures go here and all that. And then someone else sort of, you know, handled the layout and all that. Now, you guys are using InDesign, and you're actually laying out the book as you're writing it. Can you tell me a little bit about that process?
Yeah, well, so Mikkel and I had the same kind of experience. You turn in a text file and a bunch of pictures, and it would, you know, we would edit it and say the pictures go here, and then it would go off to the compositor person to lay it out. And then it would come back, and Mikkel would have to say, well, it kind of meant for this picture to go with this text. And the particular format that we're using is really important for the text and the words to be properly integrated. I mean, you know, I think about the pictures on your site. I love hearing the stories about each individual picture, but imagine where you had to flip a couple pages before you actually got to see the visuals. So especially when you're trying to teach somebody, it's really nice to have each step illustrated. And what we've done, so when we did the RAW book, we just learned that that was too hard. And so Mikkel, being very intrepid, has decided to take on working in InDesign. I barely knew how to work in InDesign myself. I wasn't ever on that end of the production with Quark or anything. So we're both sort of starting from scratch. But we are being able to put together the first draft in InDesign with the text and the pictures together, kind of giving, you know, we will eventually have our stalwart professional designer fix it up for us. And he also created the template too. So, but we are getting to put the pictures where we want to illustrate, get a point across the points that we want to make and make sure that readers are benefiting from that.
Now, first of all, I totally agree because I hate it when the pictures are separated from the text. And it always seemed more important to me that sometimes than the person that was laying out the book. And that was sort of an aggravation. No offense to any of you out there that do book layout production, okay? I'm just being a difficult-to-deal-with author here. But one of the questions I have for you is that now you've added, you know, this is sort of like digital photography, right? I mean, as photographers, we started out, we shot film, and let's say I was shooting a wedding, I'd shoot color film, and then at the end of the wedding, I'd take the film to the lab, and someone else would do, you know, all the processing and everything, and I would go home and go to sleep. Now I shoot a wedding, and I come home, and I have all this, you know, digital work to do on my computer, and I'm going to sleep a lot later. We're sort of adding another layer on to, you know, the author role here, into your role too. Is that a distraction from the actual book writing? How's that part of it working out, do you think?
Well, I think you're absolutely right that it is analogous to create, you know, to digital photography, and you get with power comes responsibility, I suppose. And so we have had to learn a new product. We've had to invent new workflows. And in some cases, I'm sure it has caused, you know, things to go a little bit slower in terms of creating the book. Although there's a huge amount of work done upstream that used to have to be done on the back end. And so, in fact, it doesn't seem as though the books are taking any longer to produce. And that was actually proven with the Eddie Tapp series, because Eddie came in and just said, look, I'm a visual person. I think starting with the picture and then I think about the words. So I want to write in InDesign. And so by the second book, we had, you know, by the time it got to production, it had actually shaved a couple of months off the process, because the designer didn't have to do all the tedious work of placing all the images. He got to do the beautification process.
So Eddie knew from the get-go that he wanted to work this way. I mean, this was part of the conversation. Now, you know, so Eddie and Mikkel, they're different photographers. You know, they're different types of teachers and so forth, and their books are different. I love them both, though. I mean, they're both great treatises. Have you noticed any differences? I mean, is there anything, are you doing anything different with the workflow in terms of Eddie than you are with Mikkel? Are they bringing different things to the table here?
Well, I think Mikkel, he has been a reporter and a photojournalist. So in some ways, I think he starts with the words. His traditional workflow is to start with the words and then add the pictures. Whereas Eddie would say, I'll get that chapter done when I get the perfect inspirational photo on the first page. So he would, you know, the design has a giant photograph on the chapter opener, you know, where the chapter starts. And he said the most important thing for him was to get the right image in there before he could start talking about how to create that image or what the elements of that image. He needed that kickoff. And then he needs to think from the images backwards. And I think that's one of the great things about working in this model, is that we're obviously working with visual people as writers and visual people as readers, and to make sure that the visuals are integrated in some kind of, you know, natural way is critical.
Now, one of the things that you can do with InDesign that I think is pretty cool is that you once you have your layout, once you have everything in there, you can output to, you know, a lot of different ways. And one of the ways that you can output is to PDF. So in other words, you can actually design your, you know, whatever it is you're working on in InDesign, and then output, instead of putting a book on the press, you can create a PDF. Now, you're working with Ken Milburn a bit on that and trying to create compelling PDFs, because we can turn those around faster, right? They don't have to go on a press, and sometimes they don't have to go on a boat, you know, in order to get the books back from the press. So how's that process working with Ken, and, you know, what's kind of the model there for doing a PDF instead of a printed book?
Well, not to mention they're cheaper. The printing cost is one of the, you know, the largest costs of printing, of making a book is printing it. And then, as you say, you have to wait for it to arrive in the bookstores. Whereas with the PDF, we have almost immediate gratification, and I can, so as soon as I deem it done or the copy editor deems it finished, it's, you know, it's a setting in InDesign to say, okay, PDF it, you know, based on these criteria, And voila, there it is. It's done, and we can post it on the O'Reilly website, and people can get it immediately. And, you know, I still like the feel of paper, but in this case, you know, I wouldn't mind having all my manuals as electronic files. I don't know about you, but I never know where to put them. And then, you know, so aside from the storage issue and the immediacy, we also have the really cool thing of being able to have pictures that are linked to text. So we're going to start the manual with a picture of the camera itself, obviously photographed by the author, and make parts of that dynamic so that you can click on it and say, what does this button do? And it takes you to the text of what that button does. We also have what I call the Jeopardy section, which is a list of quick things you might want to do with your camera. How do I set custom white balance? And instead of having to look that up through an index, you know, you get to just click right to the part where it's discussing instead of sort of trying to guess via table of contents or index, you know, where the information you think might be for the thing that you want to do.
One of the things I really like about PDFs, and you've touched on it here, is the ability to search. You know, when you're working with a printed manual, you're held hostage by the structure of whoever created the manual, the table of contents and the index. Sometimes you're lucky if you get an index, and you have to rely on the table of contents, which means a lot of times I end up just flipping back and forth through the darn thing to sort of find the one paragraph I want that tells me how to set custom white balance, for example. And with a PDF, you just have that wonderful search field where you get all the incidents of where that phrase show up, and then you can, you know, I can get to where I want a lot quicker. For that reason, even the manuals that come with my camera, as terrible as they are, I always go and download the PDF version and keep it on my computer because I just think they're a little bit more handy, you know, for looking stuff up. Now, the exception for me, of course, is the Digital Photography Pocket Guide. And the reason why is I have that on PDF also, and to tell you the truth, I don't like it as much on PDF. I think mainly because it isn't a manual. It's more, you know, talking about photography technique. And that book I actually like having with me in the field so I can look something up quickly and how to do something instead of having to pull out my computer and then, you know, do a search. So it's sort of interesting how, you know, even subtle differences in, you know, how the emphasis of the book can make a big difference in what's the best output for it.
Well, and you have to remember on the pocket guide, we intentionally set things up so that they would be easy to find. The parts are alphabetical or geographical. The discussion of how to do things, the table of contents lists what you're going to tell people how to do. Whereas in a manual, you might say, what are the best settings in this camera to shoot my son's soccer game? So that's a lot harder to have in a manual because you can't set up for every, you know, you can't give a list of different scenarios, but we can have that established as a question that people want answered, and then they can click and find the parts to that answer that are, you know, are hidden in the manual when the manual is just talking about feature by feature.
It's really interesting stuff when you start to break it down. And I do keep a PDF version of the Digital Photography Pocket Guide with me, mainly to give to other people, you know, so they can start using the book right away. Now, I want to talk about Steven Johnson just for a few minutes because as we talk about all this producing a book, I thought it was very interesting the process that he and you and everyone else with the O'Reilly production team went through to actually from the time that the book was, you know, copied and laid out and designed all ready to go, but then actually getting it to come off the press the way that he wanted it. That was really quite a process there at the end, wasn't it?
Well, the whole thing was a process, and actually Stephen did all the internal design as well. All along, he did all the steps. We used tools. That was really my introduction to InDesign and editing in InDesign. By the end, you know, we were doing proofs. We printed in Italy, and it was always part of Stephen's contract that he would go on press and check out how things were coming off, because for him, the image is absolutely critical. The color is critical. And I know all photographers are going to feel that way about their work is just not all are going to have the clout to be able to say, by the way, I'm going to Venice for a week and going to make sure that this comes off the press the way I want to. So he had proofs coming from Italy. He had his spectrophotometer. Is that what it's called? Okay. He was analyzing the color spots. He was running custom color profiles based on the conditions of the press and the paper. And not only that, for his next book, he says he's going to go to Italy first, a week before it goes on press, and do all that stuff so that he's got the right air conditions, the right, you know, sunlight, the right everything. He's going to take his equipment and perform this because he was even saying from the time the color cast on the paper that came here was different than the color cast on the paper they opened that day. And so his profile was based on the oxygenated paper. And he's, so for the next book, which is really his National Parks book, which is a 10-year project that he's taken these amazing photographs in the national parks. It's so important to him that he's planning this trip to do his color profiles on site.
I was just fascinated because you were sort of keeping me posted as you were going through all of this. I was just really, I mean, I consider myself a bit of a detail freak and, you know, you guys were pushing into areas that I have just, you know, really never been around before, even in offset printing. So this is fabulous stuff. I mean, it must get at some point though, slightly tedious when you're just trying to say, I just want this book to get off the press.
It's definitely a mind shift, especially coming from a technical publisher where, you know, traditionally be black and white and some networking diagrams that, and I, at my old company, which I won't mention at the moment, but there was always this, it's just a computer book. You know, it's got an 18-month shelf life. Just get it out and get it on the shelves, get it as good as you can. And, you know, as we move into what's clearly a more aesthetic category, there are a lot more considerations for how to treat these kinds of things. And obviously people have been doing art books for a while, and you know, this isn't a new story to anyone doing beautiful, gorgeous coffee table type books, but for a tech publisher it's really sort of challenging our preconceived ideas of how to create a book.
And it's very exciting. I mean, it's just absolutely exciting. So now, right now, I can just tell. I can just feel some people out there thinking, you know, I have some ideas myself. I've been sort of interested in, you know, publishing books or publishing in the photography space, which, by the way, is why I'm doing this show. Colleen, can we just talk for a minute? You know, it's not that easy, right, to publish a photography book these days. What are some of the things that people should think about if they are interested in this space?
Well, I think one of the things that the books that we've been talking about today reveal is that everybody sort of has their thing that they are bringing to the discussion that's different than what readers are going to get elsewhere. So, you know, and the other thing is that you have to want to teach. I mean, the most amazing photographer in the world who doesn't have compassion or doesn't have that ability to convey some of their, you know, I mean, there's the talent part of it that you just can't hand to other people. You have to be able to care about translating those techniques into something that somebody else can read. And, you know, frankly, you have to know how to write. You don't have to be the perfect writer, but you do have to know how to express yourself. So just like any book proposal would be, you know, you have to know how to express yourself, and you have to know how to do it before you start writing. You have to convince your editor and publisher that you not only have something to say that people care about, but that you know how to say it.
And I think it's important to have some sort of angle, something, I mean, you know, like right now there are hundreds of Photoshop books on the market. So, you know, if you're really interested in publishing in Photoshop, you better have something fresh to say. Otherwise, you know, you're going up against Scott Kelby, you know, Eddie Tapp, you know, Mikkel Olin, Ken Milburn, and, you know, all of these guys already are established. So if you have something you want to talk about, also think about not only the subject itself, but, you know, find an angle that's interesting that you think a lot of people would be interested in.
Well, especially in our case, we're, you know, the first question we would ask you is who is your market and why do they need to hear from you?
Right. Now, and I'm going through this process right now, and I can tell you, I've already done a number of books with O'Reilly. I have some rapport. I know who I can send stuff to, and I'm still arguing my tail off to get my next book signed. So we'll just it's not an easy process. But at the same time, books are one thing, and I think there is opportunity there if you come up with the right combination of things. But I think PDFs are another opportunity, and I just want to talk about those for just a second.
I did want to say one thing. Books are difficult, and getting, I don't want to discourage people, but you know, it's a good test. Trying to get your book approved is a good test of your fortitude for trying to get your book finished as well. It's not an easy process, and very few people, you know, gain huge amounts of fame and fortune from it. So it has to be something that you're dedicated to from the start. So moving on to the PDF question, it is an amazingly cool way for people to be able to try out writing. And in fact, O'Reilly does some, you know, obviously the Ken Milburn PDF, but we do what we call shortcuts, which are electronic only versions of hot topics that need to get out there quickly.
So if people have an idea that they want to run by you, if they have an idea for a PDF or a book or whatever, what should they do? What, I mean, we could send them, I guess, to the proposal site, but I think we have something better than that, don't we?
A bonus today here on the Digital Story. I think I'd love to hear from people. I'll just send out my email address, which is ColleenW@O'Reilly.com. Don't forget the W, because the other Colleen is infinitely patient, but she won't know what the heck you're talking about. Colleen W. O'Reilly, O-R-E-I-L-L-Y.com. And also, I want to hear from people, not just if you have a proposal, but if you have a frustration about photography books or Photoshop books that you think we're not addressing. Hey, send it on, because that's the best way for us to improve our product.
Thanks so much, Colleen. It's been wonderful having you on today. I feel like I even know more about book publishing, and hopefully I can get another one on the books here before too long. So now that being said, you know, as you're thinking about your next book project, make sure that you have your camera with you. Go out, take some shots. I know it's chilly out there, but sometimes it's beautiful and get some great shots in the winter. Send them on into the Digital Story, and I'll see you back here next week. Thanks, Colleen.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye, all.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.